Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
Women's Football Weekly with Shabana Hearn and leading guests from the world of women's football.
Cuts back onto her right foot and finds the net!
On TalkSport 2.
Hello, how you doing? Welcome to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. United and City share the spoils and thrilling Manchester derby, which was live here on TalkSport.
Here come Manchester City, Jess Park.
Driving goalwards, oh, hits the crossbar, comes out, tucked in by Ellen White. It's 2-2, they have four back.
What a game. Also, Katie McCabe scores another stunner as Arsenal ease past to Everton.
Now Williamson crosses right of centre, headed away by George, comes out to McCabe! What an effort from McCabe! And it's gone over the goalkeeper and in! Another stunner in the WSL for Katie McCabe!
And English women's football unites to stand in solidarity with players in the National Women's Super League.
On Wednesday, NWSL players halted matches in their own display of unity. Today, it is the turn of WSL personnel to show their support.
Good to be with you this evening. Coming up, we're going to be discussing the Ballon d'Or nominations, the first round of the Champions League group games, and hearing from Aston Villa goalkeeper Hannah Hampton in an exclusive interview with TalkSport's Bradley Hayden. It's all coming up for you here tonight. This is a Women's Football Weekly, National Radio's only dedicated women's football show.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hi, I'm Leah Williamson from Arsenal Women, and you can follow the WSL on TalkSport 2.
Having a good one. I hope your weekend was absolutely brilliant. My name's Shaban, in for Faye Carruthers. By the way, we've had a baby. Faye Carruthers welcomed a baby boy last week. Just thought I'd share that lovely news with you. A wee boy called Ted, I believe, mum and baby, all doing really well. So that's really nice news for you this evening. Producer Flo Lloyd Hughes is here. Hi, Flo. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Shaban?
I'm very well, thanks. I absolutely loved this weekend. I just felt like the tone has been set in the Women's Super League, whether you like women's football or not, even though it's just football. It feels like the fans are starting to come through in the dribs and drabs now. It's just the feeling was right all weekend, and there were so many upsets and great results as well. Here to talk through all the action from the Women's Super League over the weekend, Laura Bassett, former England, Birmingham and Arsenal defender. Hi, Laura, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being on, because you've had a busy weekend. Not only have you been covered in the games, you were at the derby in Manchester on Saturday, but you had your wee one with you as well, and I know that's chaos.
Oh, it is. It is. Sometimes she's a blessing in disguise. She's a welcome distraction, but then other times I'm like, oh, I haven't got enough toys to throw at her. Just entertain yourself.
I know the feeling. Just wait until she's that wee bit older and then you can just give her a ball and let her go kick it about in the garden until her heart's content, just like her mum.
Hopefully.
So you were in Manchester, and of course on Saturday at the derby. We're going to get into that very, very soon. We're going to start there soon, and we'll hear the roundup in just a minute. But just quickly, Laura, what an attendance and what a spectacle that game was.
Yeah, it really was. And I know it's a cliche, but it was, it must have been for the neutral, it must have been absolutely fantastic. And the crowd, especially the last half an hour, was just, it felt like 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 in there. It really did. And because at Lee Sports Village, you're quite close to the pitch, you can see a lot, you know, that's what I like about a lot of these women's grounds. You feel like you can see and you can hear the players on the pitch. But when everyone's so electric, so in full voice, you can't help but, you know, your heart start to go, especially if you're, you know, attached to the players or the people around it. You can't help for the adrenaline rush to start to kick in.
I completely agree with you. And I felt this weekend just seemed like everyone kind of coming together. I was at Bodham Wood for Arsenal Everton and supporting one of my my sister-in-law plays there. And actually just being there with my kids and being so close to the players. There was a couple Americans near me as well. And I knew they were there for Tobin Heath. And it just felt like such an intimate, lovely atmosphere with them. You know, being so, you know, national for everyone to see as well on the telly. It's just brilliant. It was a really good weekend. We had two live games on TalkSport Network over the weekend as well. So let's hear how it all sounded.
Finds Leah Golden, who's caught late on that far side by Stanway. Yeah, it's a red card. Good ball into the area. Shaw, he's gone! Khadija Shaw! They might be down a player, but they're up by a goal to nil. Short corner from United, drilled into the near post. It's turned in for Lucy Stanniford for her first Manchester United goal. To Russo, ball gets stuck under her feet. She gets the drive away. It's 2-1 United. Russo has turned it around. Here come Manchester City. Jess Park, driving goal. Oh, hits the crossbar. Comes out, tucked in by Ellen White. It's 2-2. They have fought back. And that is it. The Manchester derby ends all square, and so that run of successive defeats is at least ended by Gareth Taylor and Manchester City. Terrific game in the WSL, really enjoyable, and the points are shared at Lee Sports Village.
I just think the character, I think this could be the springboard for Manchester City to maybe string some results together, get players back, but they needed to really dig deep today, so they'll be pleased. Manchester United, you know, they'll probably be really, really disappointed that they didn't take advantage of having that extra player for as long as they did.
Now Williamson crosses right of centre, headed away by George, comes out to McCabe! What an effort from McCabe! And it's gone over the goalkeeper and in!
There seems an inevitability almost about Arsenal getting a second goal the way the game is being played at the moment. McCabe swings it in, that's a great delivery. Woman Boy has headed it under the goalkeeper and in! And it's 2-0 to Arsenal! Marnham darts away from Christensen like she's not there. Opens up for Marnham! What a goal from Frieda Marnham! A vicious strike from 25 yards to round off yet another dominant Arsenal display!
Wow, that one nearly had me up off my seat.
And once more, Arsenal sending a message to the title challengers that they are top of the league and they think they are here to stay. It has finished on TalkSport. Arsenal 3, Everton 0.
What a weekend. Sounds massive, doesn't it? Let's start in Manchester. Laura Bassett is with me this evening on Women's Football Weekly. Laura, quite a derby. Finished 2-2, Manchester United 2, Manchester City 2. And we'll get into the details in a second. But firstly, it felt like a game that Gareth Taylor just should not have lost.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that would have been the message to a lot of the players. And also, I think form, I know, again, going into a derby, form kind of takes a little sidetrack. Although you've been on a journey to get to the derby, you know, it's also, when you're a player, it doesn't really matter what the manager says. You know what it means to you, your ego, your footballing fans, the fans that you see in the crowd week in, week out. Family members would have been talking about it. So it means even more than maybe the messaging from the manager, if that makes sense. So I'm sure that, yeah, I'm sure it would have been a must not lose. And it would have been, look, we need some good performance indicators to show that we are resilient and we're trying to get ourselves out of this run of form.
Of course. And I mean, it wasn't a loss. They took a point from the game, all well there. And it ended their three losses in a row. So we will take the positives from that. And the fact that maybe Manchester United could have capitalised the fact that City went down to 10 men in 35 minutes, why didn't that happen?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was listening to interviews over the weekend from all of the managers, and Hope Powell even said it because there was a sending off in that game, that, you know, you automatically think, you know, 10 players, right, that's it. It's game, you know, you're going to win the game and it's easy. But actually, it's really not. I understand that, you know, with Man City losing a player so early on in the first half, yet that's a good point, and there's a lot of football to be played. But, you know, having been on both sides, you know, losing a player or being the team with the overload, it is hard because, you know, look, these Man City, they're still top internationals. They know how to see a game out. They know how to defend in a block and be resolute in their job. And actually, with Janine Becky fitting so well in at right back when Georgia Stanway got sent off, she's accustomed to that role now, isn't she? So she executed it really well.
Yeah, absolutely. Down to 10 men and 35 minutes. And then City went ahead to 1-0, which was quite unusual. I thought United would have taken that first goal. With Manchester United under Mark Skinner now, how do you see the form of that club going moving forward? Because for me, it's looking really positive at the moment. There's so many key players in that squad and they're really starting to link up nicely.
Yeah, I think when you look at Manchester United, you probably have to compare them, what are they, 3-4 years into their growth, into their existence. And you probably have to compare them to maybe a Man City, a Chelsea, 3-4 years into their project. But I think they'd slightly advance of that because obviously women's football has accelerated so quickly with the rapid growth. Mm-hmm. But in terms of maybe the depth of the squad, I think that's maybe where, well, did they lose the game? Not lose the game, but could they have capitalised even more if, for example, you look at Man City, they're able to take Bunny Shaw off and bring in Ellen White, the Ballon d'Or nominee. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at Manchester United, they haven't got that yet. You know, is that probably something they're looking to improve in the next few years? Then yes, I would think they have to, because, like, for example, losing Martha Thomas wasn't available in the squad. That could have been a key attribute for them, you know, maybe to freshen things up during that game.
Mm. Manchester United, do you think they'll be aiming for that top four club? You know, they want to be seen as the top four. Is the investment there, is the backing there fully from the club?
Yeah, I think so. I think it has to be, doesn't it? I think also with that, you have to appreciate there's steps to follow, and you don't want to grow too soon, throw money at it and throw everything and it doesn't quite work either. It has to be organically. Mm-hmm. Obviously, knowing Mark, my partner, well, he enjoys a project, and because you can't just, like I say, throw money at and expect it to work, expect it to, you know, be successful. Our league's so competitive now that you need more than that. But what I do like, enjoy watching Manchester United because of the young talent that there is there. You forget how young these players are with so much experience in the league. You know, you can't, for example, you know, Ella Toon, who's a Man United fan, been with United all the way through their journey, and how she's excelling this season. I think there was a stat I saw on Twitter. You know, she's been involved in every single game, in either assisting or scoring herself. Yeah. You know, that is, and from an England Lioness point of view, heading in, looking further to the home Euros next year, you know, what a club to be at, to keep giving her, someone like her, an opportunity to play week in, week out, rather than maybe being at another club where your limits are going to be limited or have to wait for your chance a little bit longer.
Also, Laura, let's touch on Manchester City and their squad as well. Now sitting ninth in the table, where they've been now for 2 weeks. Like we said, it's a game that Gareth Taylor should have won. Going down to 10 men didn't help. And of course, there's the injury crisis there at the moment. But I would like to get your opinion on, you know, the strong players, young players that he's got on his side. For example, Ruby Mace. We had Jill Scott as centre-back for Manchester City, which was unusual to see. Why would she not be in the midfield? Why would you not bring in one of these young players who we know has form in the Women's Super League and give them a chance?
Yeah, it was really interesting, actually, because I noticed the week before when they played West Ham, Ruby Mace and Alana Kennedy wasn't in the squad. Yeah. So I don't know whether they've been recovering from injuries or, obviously you're not privy to inside information. So I wondered whether that was an injury thing, you know, not being involved in the squad the week before. And then with it being such a huge game, huge derby, and obviously seeing Jill Scott perform there a few games, maybe that's. But obviously, I'm a big fan of Ruby Mace, having seen her perform last year at Birmingham. I thought that was a great loan move for her. You could see her growth and maturity through being on loan at a club like Birmingham. She had such responsibility on her shoulders. And we haven't really seen that yet, have we, this season? Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to watch that pan out. Like I say, I haven't got no answers. I don't know, you know, obviously Jill's been performing there and he's very reliable. You know, I know she's not a centre back, but at the same time, you need, when you're going through tough moments, you need your leaders and your players that can handle the pressure and the anxiety and the tough moments. And that's what Jill Scott can. You need your leaders and those people that can carry you through the dark moments on the pitch to make decisions.
Flo, what's your thoughts on this?
I was just going to jump in because I was covering the game from home, and actually someone did ask Gareth Taylor on the post-match Zoom about why Ruby Mace wasn't playing. You have a naturally, you know, centre back there, and you're putting a centre midfielder in that role. And he essentially said he just thinks it's too early still in her development and she's not ready, which really surprised me, because obviously Jill is playing out of position. She's doing really well, but she is playing out of position. And I don't understand why Ruby Mace hasn't been given a go, especially midweek, that game against Leicester, which was a really comfortable win in the FA Cup for City. That felt like maybe a perfect opportunity to blood her, and they perhaps missed that a little bit.
The bit of a reluctance to want to seem to get Ruby Mace in there. And you talk about her at Birmingham last season. She saved the day. You know, she saved Birmingham from relegation. So, you know, I think she deserves that opportunity. Before we hear from the managers, Laura, just quickly, is Gareth Taylor's job at risk?
No, I don't think at the minute. I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think that if there hadn't been so many injuries, then yes, but I don't get that sense, to be honest.
Okay. So from the derby at the weekend, BBC One showed the game of the Manchester derby and attracted a peak audience of 1.1 million, a new Women's Super League record, plus an additional 114,000 live streams across BBC Online as well. Really exciting to see that. And that number only seems to be growing, which is brilliant. Let's hear from the coaches now. City head coach Gareth Taylor told TalkSport that the results showed the character his side has.
I think it says everything, you know. I mean, I've never questioned their desire and their determination. Our results haven't been great, but, you know, when we take real perspective on it and we assess the stats, and I know stats don't win you games, but we're really close. You know, we've created a lot of chances. In some of the games, we've created enough chances to win five games. And, you know, even in a game where I didn't think we were that effective in the final third in terms of chances against Arsenal, we still had 16 shots to their 16. We dominated possession and we lose 5-0. I think it was a, you know, even in that performance, you look at there's some positives there. It doesn't feel like it, but, you know, there are some positives. But today was all about character. I think today was really about character from the girls, and fair play. We got there in the end.
Yeah, they did. They got the job done. They took the point from the game. And Manchester United head coach Mark Skinner was proud of his side, despite the fact they didn't come away with all 3 points.
Look, when we put ourselves in a position to be in front, we have to continue that momentum. If you watch the goal back, which we definitely will because we do everything like that, we'll be disappointed that we didn't destroy that counter-attack early to allow it to get the shot off. But the thing I can be very, very pleased with was the attitude and commitment of the players. To go one down, yes, they're playing against 10 players, but you have to find a different way to beat them. And second half, we did that. We tried to come out and we tried to be more progressive with the ball a bit quicker. And the biggest thing for us is taking the psychological challenges on. We have to keep pushing our boundaries of psychology here. And we did that. We got back into the game, and then now that knock, we're just going to manage those moments better.
Mark Skinner from Manchester United there. Laura, I need to speak to you soon about your husband, because he strikes me as quite a philosophical, psychological man when I hear him in his press conferences looking forward to the game.
I don't know about that.
You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. My name's Siobhan Hare, and I hope you're having a good one. Alongside me tonight, former England defender Laura Bassett is here. Also, Flo Lloyd-Hughes, our producer of the show as well. And coming up, we're going to be chatting about Arsenal-Everton and wrapping up the rest of the Women's Super League from the weekend.
Women's Football Weekly with Siobhan Hearn.
She's around the goalkeeper and has rolled it in.
On TalkSport 2.
A How are you? Hope you've had a good weekend. It's Monday evening. This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the only show on national radio dedicated to women's football. Hope you're having a good one. My name's Shabana Hearn, in for Faye Carruthers. Laura Bassett is alongside me tonight. And by the way, good news, we've had a baby. Faye Carruthers welcomed a baby boy last week. His name is Ted. Mum and son are both doing well. Congratulations to our Faye. And don't forget, if you miss any of our shows or you want to listen again, our podcast is available for you on the TalkSport app. Download that today. Just swipe left and you will see us there. Now let's look back to the weekend's action in the Women's Super League.
Women's Football Weekly Preview on TalkSport 2 with a Now Sports membership. Stream weekly weekend matches from the Women's Super League live without a contract from just $9.99. Search Now Sports 18 plus. Stream via internet. Terms apply.
And Laura Bassett is with me this evening. And Laura, I was at the Arsenal-Everton game there at Bodham Wood in the sunshine. It was a very low sun. It felt like a beautiful autumnal day. There was a nice spring in everyone's step. Righty was in the crowd. It was just a lovely day to be an Arsenal fan. And it all ended 3-0 against Everton. And despite the score, Everton, Laura, they did play well. They were really in a nice state of play despite finding the back of the net.
Yeah, I think so. And it was interesting that we saw a few weeks ago against Birmingham that was when they went from the back three to the back five. And it was interesting, again, that they've been preparing all week to, you know, turn up to Boreham Wood with a different pose and a different problem, you know, a very tight diamond in midfield. That could have been because of the injuries that they had. I really felt they missed Claire Emsley. I know they lost Sorensen to an ACL a couple of weeks ago, so they haven't really got those natural wide players that can get up and down and get crosses in and carry the ball in those areas. And I think, maybe he's looking at his players available and trying to fit them into a formation as well as trying to pose Arsenal a different problem, you know, Arsenal only had a couple of days to prepare for the Everton game, whereas Everton had the advantage. So, but I do agree. I think Everton showed a little bit more resilience compared to when they played the other two top teams. But I was still disappointed in that final third that, you know, there wasn't enough shots on goal. Zinsberger didn't really have enough to do. And, you know, I find it disappointing watching them that, you know, they still haven't scored against Man City, Chelsea or Arsenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a problem.
Do you think Willie Kirk's going to have to rectify that soon to justify his transfer window?
I think so. I think it was interesting in his post-match interview that we got a little bit of gossip.
I loved it.
I felt like it was an episode of EastEnders. I was like, wow, I need to know more.
Yeah. Just to point out what Laura's talking about there. You know, Everton manager Willie Kirk in his post-match press conference was talking about Frieda Manum for Arsenal. Her wonder goal, the third goal of the game, was just stunning. You've probably seen it trend. But in his post-match press conference, the presenter asked him, you know, about that goal. Can he appreciate the beauty of a goal like that? And he went, yeah, I thought I'd signed her in the summer. Like proper Scottish, you can tell he's raging. He's an angry man. And he's like, I thought it was 100% deal done. And then it all just went away. And I was like, oh, all right. Where's this all coming from? But just, I mean, it's interesting to know in public, you know, from the women's game. We see it all the time in the men's game. But who wants who and where they end up going and what that means to a manager?
Yeah, that's true. You don't, like you say, we're not really privy to that information, are we? You know, you normally, a few agents might have a few whispers or they might go to another club to try and get their player more money. You know, we know all those kind of tactics go on. But like you say, we very rarely hear it coming from a manager. And I think he said twice, I think he thought he'd signed her. So yeah, that was really interesting. So that must have, you can tell that was when Marna scored that, well, spectacular goal. You can tell that was what was going through his head.
Yeah. She should have been mine. He should have been one of the other expensive players I had in my budget. It was interesting because I think him saying that had us all going, all right, okay, like you say, a bit of gossip here. But it also made me think, right, that was a clear dig at somebody. He wasn't pleased that he didn't get her. And then, you know, she came back to bite him. But yeah, really interesting to see. And that goal from Frieda Manum was absolutely stunning, wasn't it? It was like a rocket and it just kept going.
I mean, she's such an exciting talent, isn't she? So, what, is she 22? And she was got the goal against Barcelona in the week, and and then turned up again today. And you can just see she's a real core, although she's so young, she's a real core of what Jonas Eidevall is trying to create there. He sees her as a big part. You know, she's got a lot of competition in that midfield. Mm. But because she's, you know, game intelligent, very versatile, and she understands the game and her positioning, and she can produce moments like that, she plays like she's a 30-year-old and that she's been at Arsenal all her life. You know, it's so pleasing to see, and she's so comfortable already.
Somebody who I really enjoyed watching actually at the weekend, just being there and seeing her in the flesh, was Tobin Heath, of course, US World Cup winner, and just being able to see how quick she is and how tidy she is, and again, just she's got that really nice kind of tiki-taka football, and her and Katie McCabe on the left linked up really nicely, seeing that partnership together for the first time at the weekend.
Yeah, it was really good to watch, wasn't it? And like you say, because Everton was so narrow, I feel like they had... You don't want to give Katie McCabe and Tobin Heath time anyway, let alone give them even more time and space to deliver the balls and to, you know, let them enjoy themselves even more. But you're right, Tobin Heath, I think that, you know, she's such a good carrier with the ball. And being an ex-defender, I think watching Tobin Heath, she touches the ball so many times that as a defender, you can't plant your feet to tackle. So, but because she's always moving the ball and touching, it makes you as a defender think, I don't want to commit here because she's just going to skip round me. So that's really intelligent, because I just don't think we have many players like her in the league. You know, maybe like a Lauren Hemp does it differently. She touches the ball so quick, but she accelerates past you, you know, where Tobin Heath is continually watching a defender's shoulders, hips, you know, where you plant your feet, so that she can go the opposite way and exploit you. Yeah. So she's very, very, very clever.
Yeah, definite, like, fire about her as well when she's going for it. I can't believe how fast she was. I mean, I know I shouldn't say that because I watch it on the telly, but she looked really, really quick as well going past me at the weekend. Also, she linked up with Katie McCabe, who got the first goal of the game. Another wonder goal, her second in 2 weeks. Here's what she had to say about it to TalkSport 2.
Yeah, I've got a bit of stick off the girls at training because of my celebrations are that bad. But yeah, look, obviously I'm happy when they go in, and obviously in the manner they have done in the last two games in the league, it's been nice. But yeah, ultimately I'll leave the scoring up to the girls higher up the park.
I'd like to see actually what it'd be like if she just honestly said what she felt. Yeah, that was an absolute belter. I absolutely nailed it. I would like to hear that if she's going to continue with these wonder goals. Let's go to Chelsea against Leicester City. Laura, this was interesting because it took Chelsea until the 85th minute and Ballon d'Or nominee Pernille Harder to come on and save the day to make it 1-0. They struggled to break Leicester down and to find the back of the net for quite some time.
Yeah, they did. You know, and I think, you know, because Arsenal and Chelsea are playing every 3 to 4 days up until Christmas, you know, their schedule and calendar is absolutely rammed. Mm. So, you know, and I think Emma Hayes alluded to it, they are only human. And I feel like as a manager in this situation, you have to rotate because there's so many games coming thick and fast, and with this like injuries and niggles and game plans, and there's so much that goes into a team selection, so you have to change the team. But with that, you can train all you like, you can do 11v11s in training, but actually producing it on a Sunday or on a match day when it matters looks and feels totally different. The connections might not be there, or the communication or the press, or you know, the understanding's not there because maybe that 11 players haven't played together. And that's not excuses. I just think that the longer it went on, you know, I was watching the game. I thought, oh, are Leicester going to do that? Because it just felt like Leicester were becoming more buoyant, and they defended. Like there was some, you know, I was really impressed with McManus and Plumtree, and Marley Pike, I thought, in midfield got through so much hard work. O'Brien, before she went off, you know, they, I think, delivered a level of performance that they haven't so far this season. Mm. But you're right. That's what you pay for. And another Ballon d'Or player, you know, come on and along with many others, that's what you pay for. That's the edge, and that's what they know they have.
And you're right about that, Laura. Emma Hayes had said, I know everybody wants champagne football all of the time, but a lot of games and quick accumulation, quick turnaround, I thought it was a tired performance from us. And it was, but they got the win. It was our 100th WSL win, which she nearly never got at the hands of Leicester, which would have been great for Leicester to take a point from that game because they're struggling to find their feet. But another positive we can take from Leicester was the goalkeeper, Lavelle. I think it was something like like 27 shots, and she must have hit off, I think, 16 of them or something like that. She was really good at the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely fabulous. And I think you could see her grow, like her actual body language and her shoulders and her chest. You know, you could just see her grow into the game. And I think that spread throughout the Leicester team in terms of, that was probably the last game they wanted to travel to King's Meadow in front of a, you know, full crowd and play, you know, all these top, top international players. But all credit to them, because that's a big psychological challenge that maybe that they've overcome. But Lavelle, she was fantastic. And I think when you know you have a keeper in form making those types of saves, that spreads throughout your team, and that's a solid foundation. But I think all credit to Jonathan Morgan. I think he'll be saying to his team now, look, you've given me that performance today. You've set your own standard. You've delivered that, not me, not the staff. You've delivered that. You have to deliver that every week now. You can hold them a little bit more accountable. You can't make that a one-off. So I think although they did end up losing 2-0, there's so many positives which they can go and analyse and have in their meetings, and especially some top, top individual performance that now it's up to them, those players, to deliver that more often.
I think after that performance against Chelsea, it's up to Leicester now to go on and make that statement in the remainder of their games and try and find themselves, climb their way up the table, because you know, they've got some really talented players in that team, and if they get the service, you know, up front, Tash Flint can be dangerous, Paige Bailey-Gale can be dangerous as well. So it'd be good to see them start to find the back of the net and Leicester start to you know, show some positives in their goal scoring as well. That was a look back at last weekend's Women's Super League action with Now. And don't forget, with a Now Sports membership, you can stream the Women's Super League live on Sky Sports without a contract.
Women's Football Weekly Preview on TalkSport 2 with a Now Sports membership. Stream weekly weekend matches from the Women's Super League live without a contract from just $9.99. Search Now Sports 18+. Stream via internet. Terms apply.
This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I hope you're having a good one. My name's Shabana Hearn. Laura Bassett alongside me tonight. And coming up next, we're going to talk Ballon d'Or nominations and Champions League.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello there. Hope you're having a good Monday. Hope you had a brilliant weekend as well. This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. How are you? My name's Shabana Hearn. And alongside me this evening, former England, Arsenal and Birmingham City defender, Laura Bassett. Hi, Laura.
Hey, how are you?
Very well, thank you. So let's focus on some of the results from the weekend, shall we? Reading 3, Aston Villa 0. This was the exact opposite of what Carla Ward could have hoped for from this game, because it felt like they really should have at least come away with a draw. But great to see Reading get their first win.
Yeah, exactly. I think Reading needed that probably more than Aston Villa, in terms of their team spirit, in terms of some of the performances they're putting in and their moments. And also they have the attacking talent with Natasha Dowie, with Deanne Rose, we've seen with Eichland, you know, who's got WSL experience now. You can just see something wasn't quite clicking. But I feel like the first half that they had and the goals, the quality of goals that they scored, you know, prove that if you can take your moments, take your chances, then, you know, you will get those points on the board.
Yeah, I mean, we knew last season they had that kind of mid-table season, didn't they? Just below mid-table. And then it felt like coming back, you know, this season, there was something Kelly Chambers just wasn't getting right. But we knew it was there. We knew that she had that squad. So it was good to see that squad in action this weekend. I spoke to Aston Villa manager Carla Ward actually earlier on today about the possibility of her speaking about her result from the weekend, which she wasn't too enthusiastic about, shall we say. And we're going to hear from her goalkeeper, Hannah Hampton, later. We've got an exclusive interview with her. Brighton 2, Spurs 1. So Spurs' 100% record ended at the weekend as well, Laura.
Yeah, I was really surprised by this, actually. If you would have asked me before, I thought it would have been a draw between these two teams. I think there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
I think in terms of their, I think they've recruited both of these sides recruited really well in the top areas in the attacking sense. But I just thought it was interesting that Brighton had enough, maybe the game management and the intelligence of some of their players to see them over the line. Because, yeah, I certainly feel that Brighton, the way they go forward, interesting Emily Simpkins and Aileen Whelan that have been playing in the centre midfield areas. And they're so attack-minded. Mm. So it's actually, you know, when they go forward, it's with intent, it's with, and I think we thought we saw that against Chelsea, didn't we, as well. But they have a lot of ideas, a lot of free-flowing moves. So it was interesting that these two teams, because I think there's a lot of similarities between them.
Yeah, they do strike me as quite a similar team. Let's look at West Ham, Birmingham. That ended 1-1, and Birmingham managed to get their first point of the season as well. Is that encouraging for you, considering you used to play there, Laura, or do you think that they've got a huge project on their hands this season?
Both, to be honest. I'm really pleased. I think they've deserved some of the performances and individual performances that they've put on in their previous games. I thought they've been unlucky. And I do still think there's a huge uphill climb to do. But I also hope that they still keep chipping away and hope that, you know, it encourages the club to maybe put some funds or loan moves available in the January transfer window to maybe bump up the squad. Hopefully they get players like Christy Murray back and Lily Simpkins, you know, to really bolster the squad. But hopefully maybe they get a couple of more points along the way to encourage the club to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They are without Christy Murray, who was their captain last season, a really experienced Scottish international. And who they have, you know, recruited in the summer from the likes of Louise Quinn, the Irish international, who had a really... She was player of the match last week against Manchester United. That ended 2-0. But, you know, as a defender, it felt like she was just fighting for her life. You know, she's there to represent that club. She got the goal at the weekend against West Ham. They do have some really great players there, but, you know, the squad is just... It needs more. It needs a lot more investment, it seems.
Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, you look at the WSL experience, they're really lacking in players that have had the experience, and it just takes time. Even with international, you know, foreign players, it takes time to get used to this league and everything away from the pitch. So I just hope that, like I said, maybe they can get some loan moves and with some players that maybe aren't playing at other clubs, like we saw last year happen. Like you said, we were talking about Ruby Mace earlier, weren't we?
From Arsenal,
yeah, and I know that they had Rachel Corsi with the... you know, that situation. So I hope that maybe they can do that and start to recruit and be a little bit more savvy and push on to new levels. But like you say, Louise Quinn's been fantastic. Having played with her briefly at Notts County, everything you see on the pitch is exactly her personality. She gives you 100%. And she won't ever falter from that.
Yeah, and I mean, leaving Arsenal as well, I feel that, I don't know, when you look at Arsenal's back line, I think they're missing Louise Quinn. You know, I do think she was such a strong player for Arsenal, and now to see her at a club at the bottom end of the WSL, you know, a year on from after she came back from Italy, wasn't it, in the summer. You know, it's interesting to see just the difference, you know, from the top of the league to the bottom of the league. But I do think that ultimately does come down to the investment in the back end from the club, and I don't think that's there at Birmingham. Well, we know that that's not there at Birmingham, and it's almost a little bit unfair to some of those players.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that they're going in the right directions, aren't they? I think what happened was that maybe poor manager recruitment, maybe when Mark Skinner left, you know, Marta Tejedor, was that the right move? And I just think that, you know, with so many players being unhappy and leaving there, the transition and the time to rebuild has took too long. And I think we're forever chasing now. And I just think that, you know, it sounds like the players are training at the training ground. They're playing at St. Andrews for the, so there's for the very first time, there's a few big ticks, you know, that are going in the boxes now. But has it took the club, you know, has it been too reactive? Has it took too long to rebuild? Hopefully not. I always get asked this question, who's going to go down? And I hate to say it, but unless the, you know, I do say Birmingham, and it's in my heart. I played for the club for a very long time, and I hate saying it, but, and that's why I'm really hopeful in the January window with loan moves or with a little bit more of recruitment or being savvy that can change that fortune around.
Yeah, I mean, they have to save themselves from that, Laura, because you've played there. The likes of Ellen White have played there. Rachel Yankee. You look at the players that have come from Birmingham, and it feels a shame to see them in this position. Let's move on to the Ballon d'Or nominations, shall we? This was quite an interesting read. So 20 nominees, about a gazillion of them from Barcelona. Doesn't surprise me, because watching them in Champions League last week was just like watching... Oh, just a club from another world in women. The best women's football play I've ever seen in my life. Do you agree?
Yeah, totally. And I think I agree with you, Yona. You have to see and experience and play against, but you have to maybe play against it to really even realise how good they are. Like, you know, maybe it was for when we used to play Arsenal, you used to think there was 12, 13, 14 players on the pitch because they just pass and move the ball so quickly. They're from, I think you've explained it well, they're from a different world, a different dimension than what we are.
And it's funny, Laura, because we see, and I think we're right to say that the Women's Super League is the best league probably of women's football. And then, you know, you look at Barcelona and they are the best team, you know, so it's how does the Women's Super League players just go up and compete against them? We're going to talk Champions League very, very soon. Some of the names, especially playing in the Women's Super League, up for the Ballon d'Or nomination: Magdalena Eriksson from Chelsea, Sam Kerr, Chelsea, Pernilla Harda, Chelsea, Vivian Amidema, Arsenal, Leica Martins, actually Barcelona, I'm not surprised she's in there. Jessie Fleming, Chelsea, I was a bit surprised by that one. I didn't, of course, then, of course, from Canada at the Olympics, but I was surprised by that one. Ellen White from Manchester City, this one made my day because I feel that she's a player with so much experience, has covered so much of the ground in the Women's Super League and on international duty. For example, 43 goals in 97 games for England. Very successful in Team GB just in the summer, 6 goals in 8 games. Looking at Fran Kirby as well, 75 goals and 101 appearances in the WSL. Rightful for her to be nominated. Pernilla Harda, the most expensive woman in women's football ever. When she was at Wolfsburg, 38 goals and 33 games. Anybody who you think should have been nominated in there that hadn't been mentioned, Laura?
It's a really impressive list. Maybe probably only one was Caroline Graham Hansen.
Yeah,
I thought she's been really impressive. I think she did tweet as well, and just to calm the fans down and calm the women's football community down, that she's okay and she's just going to carry on winning things for Barcelona, and that's going to be her reply. Because we have spoken about maybe players without the media profile or branding, you know, maybe getting overlooked, so I'm not too sure. But yeah, I would have liked her to be introduced. But yeah, I think it's a pretty solid list.
Yeah.
Really interesting to see who wins.
And I managed to actually speak to Vivian Amidema earlier on today to find out who she was feeling after receiving yet more global recognition.
It's obviously nice to be listed among some of the great players in the women's game right now. I think it just reflects on having had a good year with the national team and with Arsenal, and I mean, proud to be there. But as I've said before, like, obviously I play football to win prizes as a team and not on an individual base, but proud to be there, and I hope that I can continue that form this season with Arsenal and the national team, and obviously the Euros coming up next summer as well. So I guess I just need to keep doing what I've been doing.
I'm obsessed with Viviana Miedema. I just don't understand how somebody functions like that. Laura, in 110 games for Arsenal, she's had 100 goals. In her whole career, she's had 10 hat-tricks as well. There's something special about this player. Is she the GOAT?
Well, she's on her way to becoming the GOAT, isn't she? I think that I don't think we need to put any names on her, because I still think there's so much more that she can achieve and that she will achieve. So I think maybe let's have this conversation in terms of GOAT branding when she's completed it all and eventually hung her boots up at 45, because that's when I want to stop watching her play. No.
Oh, gosh, she's just so good. I spoke to her about a year ago now, and she said when she was playing, because she's the highest scorer for the Netherlands ever, and when she overtook Robin van Persie's record, he reached out to her just to say, you know, well done, you know, no one can do what you have done. And I think she'd set herself a target for country goals to be 50, and I think she completed that by the time she'd reached age 21 and had to up her target to 100. So she really does know just how to score goals, and she's a sublime talent to see here in the Women's Super League as well. So good luck to all the nominees for the Ballon d'Or, but we'll wait and see who wins. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. My name is Shabana Hearn. I hope you're having a good one. Coming up next, we're going to look ahead to this week's Champions League action, and we're going to hear from Aston Villa goalkeeper Hannah Hampton. Hope you're having a good Monday. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. My name's Shabana Hearn, and this is the only national radio show dedicated to women's football. It is lovely to be with you alongside me. Former England defender Laura Bassett is here. And of course, last weekend was a fabulous week in the Women's Super League, and we were spoiled because we had Champions League midweek as well. And that was all thanks to the broadcast from DAZN. Laura, did you manage to catch any of the games?
Yeah, I watched Barcelona-Arsenal and then the second half of the Chelsea-Wolfsburg game. So, and yeah, both were very, very entertaining and great to watch for different reasons.
Yeah, yeah. You were watching kind of the Arsenal-Barcelona game like through your fingers, like, gosh, no, this is not the best team in the Women's Super League at the moment, getting thumped again. like we saw from Chelsea just 5 months ago in the final. But it was some game. And of course, Chelsea-Wolfsburg ending 3-3 thanks to Pernille Harder just getting that equaliser in the final minutes, which I think she'd done for Wolfsburg against Chelsea a few years ago, had got that final goal as well to make it all square. She's some player, and it was just a brilliant spectacle. And, you know, you might be wondering who's watching these games, who are they reaching. Viewing figures have come in for that. 329,000 people watched that Barcelona-Arsenal game for English language coverage on DAZN. It was free to watch. It was a great game. There were streams in multiple languages as well. Additional documentary style content. It was really, really good. And of course, Laura, DAZN has now been linked to possibly purchase BT Sport and become the Netflix of sport. How phenomenal would that be if the likes of BT Sport Today, being renamed then DAZN, was showing football games like this? What would that mean to you?
Well, I mean, first of all, well, that's breaking news. I didn't realise that. I hadn't read that anywhere. Mm. So that's really interesting. But I think, you know, it just shows, you know, with figures like that, it was just, you know, I spoke to my parents who were, you know, in their late 60s and said, oh, Champions League women's football's on. Oh, where, what side's it on? Have they got it? Or how can they pay for it or whatever? I was like, no, it's free. Free, just log on. And even what I'm saying is even they knew how to do that, and it was so accessible. Normally, you have to go through hoops and jump and pay and this, that and the other, and it's only, but it was just so easy and so comforting and just, yeah, simple. And because if you make it easy and you spread the word, then people will watch it. And what a delight, what treats we were, even the highlights, the catch up, because you can't watch them all at the same time, the highlights, and that, it's just been brilliant.
Yeah, it has. It's been absolutely excellent, and it's just lovely to see these figures and to see how the women's game is growing. And this week coming up for the Champions League games, the group stages continue. It's Juventus against Chelsea. That's 8 o'clock for you on Wednesday. And also Arsenal will take on Hoffenheim at 8 p.m. on Thursday here in England. So again, those games will be broadcast on DAZN for you. I hope you check them out. It's going to be quite a great week for football in the women's game. And Laura, you might be interested to know of the attendance at the Manchester Derby at Leigh Sports Village on Saturday. 3,987 people turned up to buy games for that, to buy tickets for that game. And you said it felt like 8,000 people were there. It was quite the atmosphere, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was, especially the second half when things started to get edgy and the goals that started to come. It was singing, it was entertainment, it was, yeah, just you could, you know, what people were thinking, they were saying, when sometimes at a women's game, we don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, what they were thinking, they couldn't hold their emotion in. It was just letting it out, which was great to see.
Yeah, love it. And also there have been some interesting developments today from the championship attendances as well. Really getting behind their clubs there in the championship. A record attendance at Sheffield, 4,100 fans turned up to Bramall Lane on Saturday. And that follows a record numbers at Nottingham Forest last week as well. So it seems like everyone's really getting on the women's bandwagon at the moment, as they should have done a long, long time ago. But we're here now. It took some time. Here, Laura, do you ever feel a little bit like, damn it, I wish this was 5 years ago or no?
Maybe not five, maybe 15 years ago when I was in my 20s, not 5 years ago.
Listen, I was knocking a few years off there, Laura.
Oh, right. No, I mean, yeah, of course you do. But also on the flip side of that, I'm so thankful now that there's so many opportunities for retired players that maybe have, you know, and there was players before us, but, you know, there's a lot of retired players that are having jobs at clubs, coaching roles or media, or actually we've seen people on TV, on radio, you know, so there are opportunities for those retired players to still give back and be a part of the whole community and still trying to work really hard to push women's football even further. And like you say, to try and spread the word for those slow people that haven't quite caught on that it's actually really entertaining to watch and be a part of.
Yeah, absolutely. It's football at the end of the day, and that's what we love. It doesn't matter if it's men or women, but it's great to see the women getting that platform they deserve now. So one of the goalkeepers we've been talking about, who a lot of clubs were interested in this transfer window, is Hannah Hampton. She's one of the most exciting young talents in the Women's Super League, and TalkSport's Bradley Hayden caught up with her to chat about her interesting journey into the game and crossing the City-Villa divide.
Birmingham will always have a special place in my heart, as cheesy as it sounds, really, but I loved my time there, the 5 years that I was there. I mean, it started my career, it kept me grounded, especially with the things that we're getting now. You appreciate it a lot more, and I just think that I was there for 5 years, it was time for me to move on. And as much as the fans think that I don't care about the club, that's never been the case, and I had to move for my career. And if I had the chance, I would have stayed at Birmingham, but I had to move.
And I suppose one of the other main factors in you going to Villa as well was linking up with Carla Ward again. I mean, what is she like as a manager, and how good is she to work with?
Wardy's great. She wants to get to know the person before the player. And I think that's so good that you build that trusting relationship off the pitch, that whenever you go on the field, whatever she says, her playing style, the game plan, you buy into it, and ultimately it gets us the results that we need and the points that we want to keep ourselves in the league.
And for those who maybe don't know so much about your career and how you've got to where you are today, how did you kind of get into football when you were younger?
It's a bit of a weird one. Like, I never thought I'd play football, and then I was living in Spain at the time and I was just playing football on the playground. And the school that I went to in Spain, in Villarreal, the Villarreal first team players send their kids there, so at the end of the day they're standing waiting to pick their kids up, and they saw one of the players saw me on the playground and told me that I had to go trial for the club. So I did, as thinking nothing of it, going in my West Brom kit to a Villarreal trial, and I got in. So I'm actually grateful for the guy telling me to go trial, but I'll never see him again. So
if he is listening to this, what would you say to him?
Thanks. Huge thanks.
And you mentioned there being over in Spain and being part of Villarreal's sort of youth setup at the time. I mean, what was that like for you, and how much has that sort of made you into the player that you are today?
Oh, I loved my time in Spain at Villarreal. I think the Spanish philosophy of the passing has really helped, because I'm I love my distribution. That's like the main part of my game. I love getting on the ball. So I feel like that's helped massively being in Spain. I would do anything to go back there, to be fair. Not going to lie.
And as well as that, you were a striker as a youngster as well. So how did the sort of the process of moving all the way back to goalkeeper all come about?
Just the classic, like the keeper gets injured in the warm-up and you volunteer to go in goal. So I volunteered at Stoke. And then I must have had a worldie because there was an England scout on the side and I got scouted for England after the game. So I ended up staying. But to be fair, the week after I was outfield again and an England scout said I should go out. So I just picked between the two and I thought the fact that I've been in goal for one game, I'll stay. So I did.
And I understand as well that, you know, you're trying to hopefully maybe do a little bit work with Birmingham Children's Hospital as well to speak to some of the children getting treatment down there and sort of really trying to raise their spirits in some way as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think for me at the time, if the Children's Hospital didn't help me, I wouldn't be in the position where I am today. So I feel like if I can give something back to them, then that's a bonus. And as much as Villa is a partner with Birmingham Children's Hospital, I think doing it personally, it's nice for me to support them and help with their funding.
How did they help you when you were younger then?
I was born with a squint, like cross-eyed kind of thing, and with no depth perception, so I can't really judge distances. And I had so many operations with them when I was younger that if I didn't have that, then I wouldn't be able to do a lot being older. So my parents made the decision to go through with all the operations, and obviously it's worked out for the better with me. But I know what it's like growing up with a disability as such. And especially in the society, how it's not nice being a kid with a problem like that. So if I can do anything to help them out in any way, then it's a bonus for me and it's a way of me giving back as much as I can.
Love it. That was TalkSport's Bradley Hayden talking to Aston Villa goalkeeper Hannah Hampton. So young and still so talented. And I've actually seen two of the Aston Villa games. Laura Bassett with me this evening, former England defender. I've seen two of the games so far, Laura, in the flesh. And Hannah Hampton just does some wonder saves. She's a really special talent and to have here in the Women's Super League.
Not only does she give her saves, but it's a distribution with her feet. Yeah. I think that Aston Villa, you know, she's such a foundation that they can build and they can play out from the back because she's so composed. They can go longer because she has the distance. She's probably got the furthest kick from a female keeper in the league. So she's so talented like that and she's so confident. But with that, she's only young. She's going to make mistakes. She's going to make poor decisions. So we have to give her time to grow. And I feel like she's at the right club to do that. She's going to play week in, week out. Yeah. And she's going to be, she has a lot of responsibility on her shoulders, but has a manager that will understand that she is only young and she's going to make mistakes because Carla Ward was a player herself. So, you know, that understanding and growth will be there. I'm shocked that she's not involved with England more, even if she's not going to play, but being part of the environment, the culture, and just let's give our young keepers as much experience, because in the women's game in England, we always have a problem. Who's in the best form? Ellie Roebuck's been injured for a while, and so we always have this dilemma. It's always a talking point. So why not give our young keepers as much exposure as possible?
And we can nurture it as well. If you're in that environment, you know, maybe there's something that we don't see with Hannah behind the scenes. You know, she could need that nurturing. She could need taking in under the wing. And it feels like Carla Ward is doing that with her at Aston Villa as well. So good luck to Hannah Hampton. Like you say, Laura, she's got some strike on it. I think she was a striker when she was younger as well. So really, really good to hear from Hannah Hampton there. Thank you so much to TalkSport's Bradley Hayden for speaking to her as well. And that's all from us this evening. Thank you so much, Laura Bassett, for joining us. I hope you have a lovely week.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
And it's now where we've got cup games this week, Conte Cup games this week, and then it's the international break as well. So, Laura, we look forward to speaking to you after that. Producer Flo, thank you so much as ever. You put together the best show ever and the easiest person maybe to work with ever in my life. Shall I say that? Is that fair?
Too kind. Too kind.
Thank you so much to Hannah Hampton, and good to hear from Viviana Miedema as well. Thank you so much to you, as always, for listening to the show as well. And don't forget, if you miss any of it, you can download the Women's Football Weekly podcast via the TalkSport app, and you can hear it all there.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.